It is good to see you on this beautiful day the Lord's given to us. And I tell you, it does look nice out there today, don't it? Yes. Picture perfect. Seeing God's hand at work, creation. I heard the birds, they were happy this morning. You know that? They were mighty happy. And we need to be happy, too, because we serve a Lord who does really take good care of us. It's good to see you, good to have you, and we welcome you. I know some of you have been out sick, and it's good to have you back. And it's just good to be here together and unify our hearts in worship. Before we begin, let's look at a few announcements. Reminder for May 5th, Sunday, next Sunday, prayer breakfast, 7:30. Men, you're invited to come. I tell you, our crowd's been getting bigger and bigger. We're filling the building up over there. The Lord's really blessing. And men do a good job of, and the feeding crews do a good job feeding us, but men do a good job of thinking about the people sick in the community and praying for them and getting cards out to them, let them know we're thinking about them. And so come be a part of that if you've not been able to do that. Men's prayer breakfast. You see, listed in the bulletin, Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project, Mondays, 9 to 12, and then Bible study Thursday at May 2nd at 10 a.m. Ladies Auxiliary have a convention at Daniel's Chapel on May 9th at 8 a.m. And there's going to be usher and acolyte training on May 19th and June 9th following immediately following service.
Joe?
Yes?
That is optional. If anyone feels like they need to stay for usher training or acolyte training, if they want to. And I gave out the list for the year from July 3rd to next year.
Okay.
It would be anybody on that list who wanted.
All right. Thank you. So recently we voted to support the food bank at the Deep Run Church and to partner with them. We have a card that says Deep Run Original Free Will Baptist Church. Your generosity means more than it's possible to say, and it is truly appreciated. Thank you so much for your gift. You have certainly blessed this outreach ministry, helping us to continue to grow. We enjoy having you join us as we serve our neighbors. Much love in Christ, First Baptist Church, Deep Run Food Bank Committee. Continue to pray for that. It's a great ministry to people in the community who need food. And we're partnering with them, working alongside them, working together in unity. And if you'd like to go, we'll be making some announcements for opportunities to help to serve if you'd like to do that. We have another card here. It says, Hello, church family. I'd like to thank you all for the prayers, cards, gifts, and food. They've meant so much. I have missed attending church and seeing everyone. Hopefully, I'll be able to come back more often. I go back to Duke this coming week on May 1st and 2nd for a new MRI. We will be discussing new medications and other options. Recently, I've had kidney issues and eyesight problems. For the next 2 weeks, I will have many appointments. Please continue to pray for me and my entire family. With love and thanks, Greg. Brother, you can count on us. We're going to be praying for you day and night. Eh? Good to see you. All right. Anyone else have any announcements?
Yeah, I have
one. All right.
The Deacon Board has been talking about, we've been kicking around whether we could do a driving ministry. And what I mean by that is driving people to the doctor's office and that sort of thing. It has a lot of logistical problems that we were trying to figure out. But what we thought was, the first thing we'd like to do is offer all the deacons, Floyd's our incoming deacon, Tony's not here, Michael's not here, Jerry's here, and I'm here. So you could contact any one of us, and if you've got a need, as simple as taking you to a doctor because somebody in your family can't do it, or any other need, if you will let one of us know, we will try to help figure that out and help you with it. So That's, I'll get Selena to put some kind of note in here, so it'll always be in here for the next few Sundays. So if you have any, contact one of your deacons. We're looking for a way to help you. Okay? Thank you.
Do we have any other announcements? All right, let's begin worship. Together, let's read the responsive reading in the bulletin this morning. The joy of the living Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord has lifted up our soul from darkened caverns of death.
He has restored our life from the deep pit of despair.
God has turned our weeping into dancing. Let us worship the one who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb of God.
Be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen.
Lord God, we just thank you for another opportunity to gather together as your children. Take our cares and concerns off of worldly matters and focus on heavenly things. We look to you, we praise and magnify and glorify your name. Just thank you for saving us, for lifting us, and for giving us true life. Fill our hearts with joy this morning as we focus on Christ Jesus and all he has done for us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to 403 in our hymnals. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation. Miss Linda Fay has our scripture reading this morning.
Our scripture today from the Old Testament is coming from Psalms 28, verses 6 through 9. And it's talking about rejoicing in answered prayer. This is a psalm of David today. Praise be to the Lord. He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength. He is my shield. My heart trusts in the Lord, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. The Lord is my strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forevermore. Okay, the New Testament reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. And this is looking at Jesus, the true vine. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in you, in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Jesus. I am the true vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and it withers. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
continue to worship as we pray. Do we have any needs and requests this morning?
I do.
All right.
I was prayed for. I can't talk or walk
for
Sam.
All right.
I want you to pray for Sandy White. She said she's a friend of mine. She's about my age, and she's had some kind of allergic reaction that's been real severe. We don't know what it is. But anyway, she's in bad shape.
Sandy White.
Sandy White.
Okay.
And pray for Kirby Page.
Kirby Page. All right.
Pray for our country.
Okay.
Dee Dee Sims. She's the wife of Bennett Sims, who's pastor of Pineville Church. Her cancer is a term, kidney cancer.
Okay. Dee Dee Sims.
Yes.
All right.
My niece, Deborah McCoy.
Deborah McCoy. Joanna Collins, okay. Who over here?
Family of Billy Potter.
Family of Billy Potter, okay.
Dennis and Susan Heath.
Dennis and Susan Heath.
And Gabriel.
And Gabriel.
I'll have some minor surgery.
Minor surgery. Okay, we got you, Miss Shirley. Yeah. Miss Shirley, yes. Okay. Molly Bird, okay. Continue to pay for Greg, we got you. All right, let's remember these needs, and there's needs listed on the back of the bulletin. As you pray this week, lift those up. And when you, if you run out of anything to pray for, you can always pray for one another. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 429, stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love.
thank you for all you do to provide for us and provide everything you could possibly ask for. We ask you now to just bless these offerings we give back to you now for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask this. Amen.
Amen.
Stand for the doxology, please. Be seated. Our scripture text today comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 10 through 17 listed there in the bulletin. If you were not with us last week, we began a new series from the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're titling it Good News for the Not So Good. And our goal is to go through the book of 1 Corinthians and just let God speak to us. How about that? Because there's a lot of issues that they faced back in that day, which can be issues for us if we're not careful. And when they arise, we have instruction from God on how to navigate those waters. So here's how it reads. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you. but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. And another, I follow Christ. They didn't know who to follow, did they? And Paul went on to say, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Cyprus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the house of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and elegance, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Our thought today is, when you know you're right. Today we're going to talk about church unity and its dreaded nemesis, church division. One of the things I enjoy so much about this church is we get along so well. In fact, you know, we might lose sight of how it happens in other places. Years ago, I served on the exec committee, and that was one of the things that we had to do. We had to go to church fights. And I can tell you, it's not fun, and it's ugly. And I'll tell you what I learned from that. Churches, those churches that were divided in mind and thought, those churches that stay divided are now closed, and their properties have been sold off. But those churches that decided to get of one mind and one heart and unify themselves, those churches are growing, thriving churches. So when we talk about unity and we talk about division, we're talking about two very important, powerful things. Most causes of division are not exactly earth-shattering matters. In fact, they're often pretty petty. Tom Rainer, who blogs about church life, wrote an article a while back listing some of the causes behind church fights and even a few church splits. In one church, there was a petition circulated requiring that all church staff must be clean shaven. Another church, apparently it was okay to have facial hair, but they got in a big argument and disagreement over the appropriate length of the beards that their leaders had. One church got in an argument over whether or not to buy a weed eater. And it was so heated, it took two business meetings to resolve it. Another was an argument over who had the authority in the church to buy postage stamps. And man, did it cause a ruckus. Another church lost a lot of members when they switched to a stronger brand of coffee. And in another church, a deacon was accused of sending anonymous letters to various church members. And this conflict got so heated that it was ultimately settled in the church parking lot. You can imagine what went on there. And how about this? There was a major argument and disagreement that tore a church up. Because they were arguing about whether the church should be allowed to serve deviled eggs at a church meal. Deviled eggs. I never knew that. Yes, these issues seem silly. But in reality, they're all distractions from what we should be doing in our churches. The truth is, they're all really great distractions to the great commission that Christ has called us to. Because everything we should be doing is to be helping people find and follow Jesus. And we must not ever allow division and dissension take precedence over this great work that God has called us to do. Now, we're in our second week on 1 Corinthians, and Paul is talking today in our text about various factions that existed in the church of Corinth. Some claim to be followers of Paul, some Apollos, some Peter, some even Jesus. He doesn't give us a lot of great distinctions about each group, so we don't know exactly how they differed from one another. Neither is there any evidence that Apollo and Cephas fanned the flames of division, but we do know it was there. And as we read through the letter, we can kind of speculate on the nature of what their divisions and disagreements were. Maybe some focused more on grace and liberty to the point of letting it become a license to sin. On the other side, maybe some were legalists who insisted that Christians must still be obeying the Old Testament laws and traditions. Maybe there were some who were influenced by popular intellectual trends. And they sought to turn Christianity into more of a philosophy than a life of obedience to Christ Jesus. Maybe there were some who were just plain elitist. They thought they were the only ones saved. They thought they were better than everyone else, and everybody else was lost. And you know what? They all believed they were the only ones who were right. The point Paul is making here is that we must learn to work out our differences and resolve them. Because if we know that anything is true, the truth is we're all different. And we must never let our differences divide us. We must learn to move beyond our differences so we can get along with one another in spite of our differences. So that's what we want to look at today, is how to continue to be a church, how to stay on course, how to stay on vision with what God has called us to do, and not let these petty things in life divide us. So the first thing I want to talk about when we talk about developing unity and ironing out our differences, the first thing is, let's seek to say the same thing. Paul says in verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, so that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Now, expecting two very different people with two very different ideas to agree may not sound all that likely, but it helps to understand the meaning of the Greek word that Paul used here for agree. He uses the phrase to autolegate, which means literally to say the same thing. And that's where the path to unity begins, with the question, what can we say that we do agree on about this? So ideally, we want to get to the point where we can say we see eye to eye on this matter. But until we get there, till we get to that place, what can we say? We can say at this point we may agree, but I'm willing to work this out so that it doesn't come between us. I'm willing to do my part so that it doesn't interfere with the work of God and what He's called us to do. I'm willing to do what it takes so that our friendship doesn't go down the drain. I'm willing to come into agreement so that we can still treat one another with dignity and respect. That's where unity begins. Unity begins with a willingness to find common ground and build on that. Unity is not so much a matter of the mind, where our thoughts are identical. It is a matter of the will, the desire to live together in unity. And of course, there are some who simply aren't interested in this on any level. Now, I know that's not y'all. You know, there's some people who just love conflict. They love dissension. I think that's what they live for. You know, there are those who have to always have something to fight about constantly and consistently. You know, some people just love it. But we're not to be that person as a child of God. Unity is a matter of the will. Division, you could say, is a matter of the want. Unity, I will. Division, I won't. I will, I won't. Division is the unwillingness to work toward a meeting of the minds, because a meeting of the minds can't happen without a meeting of the hearts. John Wesley said this about the differences among Christians. He said, though we may not think alike, may we not love alike. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, when exhorting the Colossians to be patient and kind and humble and forgiving, he said in Colossians 3:14, and all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So ultimately the goal is that as a church we're all on the same page and all moving in the same direction, because everything we do is about helping people find and follow Jesus. That's what God has commissioned us to do. And in order to get there, we begin by building on common ground. And we may not agree on everything, but we can agree on what matters most, and we can build on that. It has been said, where there is unity, there is victory. And I don't know about you, but I like that word victory. Huh? In the business world, they say a unified team is a competitive weapon. Think about all the competitors in the business world you might be competing about. There could be thousands of them. A unified team has a full advantage over a team that is disjointed and divided. So let's nail it down to what we agree on. Let's start from there, and let's be sure we hold it at the forefront, and we're sure to experience victory. And a second way to focus on unity and to confront division is, the second thing is, let's seek to understand both sides of the story. I read about a teacher that teaches English composition on the university level, and she gives her students an assignment each semester. First, she requires them to write a persuasive essay on a topic of their choice. Have any of y'all had to ever write a persuasive essay on the topic of your choice? So you know what we're talking about, okay? And then she, after they do that, she gives them a new assignment. Write a persuasive essay, same topic, but from the other point of view. And what she finds is most students, she said, are incapable of seeing their topic from another perspective. If you want to build unity with someone whose viewpoint is different from your own, the first step is to fully understand what they really believe and where they're coming from. We're often tempted to minimize and, you know, really misrepresent any viewpoint that isn't identical to our own. Now, you might have done that before. What do you think? And, you know, this happens in churches far more than it should. Have you ever heard the term worship wars, anybody? Mm-hmm. It's been around for hundreds of years. I mean, those two words really shouldn't be in the same sentence. But, you know, one group says that the other group wants to turn a church into a rock concert. And that group says the other group wants every song to sound like an 18th century recital. And this had been going on for hundreds of years. And really, if you research it, you know, most of the hymns that we sing, they're near and dear to our heart. The day they were introduced into the church started a worship war. I mean, most of those hymns, they said, they're using tunes that are of the world, you know, and they're trying to put these words to worldly tune. I mean, it's been going on for hundreds of years. This is what I'm saying. And they were both claiming to be right. I forgot about that. They both claimed to have a true understanding of what worship was. Anyway, here's what I'm saying. In order to resolve our differences, we must be willing to make the effort to understand what the other side is saying and thinking and feeling. This also means that we might be willing to entertain the idea that we might not know everything there is to know. And we may not be right about everything all the time simply because we fail to see and understand everything. I love how the New Living Translation translates this verse from Romans in Romans 12:16. I mean, this just jumps right. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Don't think you know it all. What I'm saying is, let's give ourselves a chance to explore the story from the other side. The third thing, in order to build more unity and to continue to have unity in our fellowship and in our churches, let's set our sights on that which matters most. There is, you could say, a hierarchy of doctrines and customs and traditions within the church. Some are essential, some are fundamental and non-negotiable, and some are not. They're just different perspectives, different methods, or different styles. For example, the death, the substitutionary death and physical resurrection of Jesus Christ are non-negotiable fundamentals of our faith. The doctrine of the deity of Christ is non-negotiable. It's the fundamental that we'll draw a line in the sand over. The virgin birth is another non-negotiable fundamental. All of these are as they are. Views on other matters, such as baptism and Holy Communion or free will or the inerrancy of Scripture, the study of the end times, styles of worship, places to worship, these can be discussed and debated because there are committed Christians as well as Christian scholars and theologians who hold different opinions. Oswald Chambers said that the whole point of getting things done is knowing what to leave undone. Knowing what to leave in and what to leave out. In the same way, the trick to getting along with one another is building a foundation of unity and knowing when not to go into battle or when not to blow an insignificant detail out of proportion. Because responsible and mature Christians refuse to make every minor difference a major issue. Instead, they focus on pursuing their highest calling, and they set their sights on doing what matters most. And that's why Paul said in verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." In that day, when you were baptized out publicly. And those people who came to you and you baptized them, it was a saying to those who were witnesses it that I'm a follower of this person that has baptized me. So they would gain a following. Paul said, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom and elegance, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Not with wisdom and eloquence, it says. So what does that mean? It has an interesting modern-day parallel. In his day, there were traveling sophists or philosophers who could be heard in the marketplace in Mediterranean cities. They were quite skilled, even flashy. They were flashy in their methods of presentation. You could almost say that the Greeks loved to watch them, and they loved discussions of wisdom better than wisdom itself. They knew how to make it entertaining, and they did it so they could gain a large following. And Paul was saying, that's not me. That's not my style. That's not what I do. Instead, Paul said, Christ called me to communicate the gospel in the simplest, most accessible form, and ultimately, that's what he did. I think of Billy Graham, who's preached to more people face-to-face than probably any man in history. You know what was remarkable about his preaching? There was nothing slick about it. There was nothing showy about it. There was nothing flashy about it. It was just a basic, simple presentation of the gospel. Because that's all the Holy Spirit needs to draw someone to Jesus Christ. Stephen Covey wrote a book. He was the author of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And he's been quoted as saying, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Did you get that? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. What an accurate description of what our Christian life and our church life should be. And that's what Paul did. And that's what we must do. We must set our eyes, set our sights on that which really matters most. We should keep our vision focused clear on what God has called us to do. That will lead us to unity together. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, Paul said, the one thing I do, one thing, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We must keep the main thing the main thing. In conclusion, today some churches are divided over trivial matters, and they're closing by the scores as they flounder away in their division. Some find themselves divided over things that are essential matters. It's up to us to discern the difference between that that is lightweight and that is heavyweight. It's up to us to navigate these differences with love and respect toward others, even those whom we're sure are certainly wrong. We can still treat others with gentleness, kindness, and even humility. The Apostle Peter said this in the epistle he wrote to Christians everywhere. First Peter 3:8, he says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. While we're working on item one, that is to be like-minded, let's continue to focus on the other items as well, to be sympathetic and loving and compassionate and humble. God's desire is that we live together in unity, and that we come to a consensus on all matters of faith and practice. And until we achieve unity of thought, we can be Christ-like in our behavior with one another. We must remember and never forget, we've been saved, sanctified, sanctioned to follow Christ. And everything that we do is about helping people find and follow Jesus. When we get this right, we'll always be right. And let us remember, church, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the wisdom we have gleaned from this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. As we work our way through it, we pray you'll speak to us in these matters that We explore, and may we be strengthened in our faith and our unity, our love for you and one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing the first and second verses of 656, Take Time to Be Holy.
Again, it's been good to see all of you today and worship with you. Thanks for being here, bringing the spirit of worship. Continue to remember to pray for those who've asked an interest in our prayers. Anybody have anything to say before we leave?
Great to have you back.
Yes, amen. Okay. Well, there's unity, there's victory. Let's unify our hearts and pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.